So I'm Anya Drabkin, and I'm a third-year clinical psychology doctoral student at Duke. My interests focus on the socioeconomic determinants of mental health disparities. So today I'm going to be talking to you about how parental incarceration might affect psychosocial outcomes among youth and young adults. I have nothing to disclose today. So a little bit of context on parental incarceration. The United States currently has the highest incarceration rate in the world. Almost 1 in 100 US adults are currently in jail or prison. 1.5 million prisoners are parents to approximately 2.4 million youth under the age of 18. That's 1 in 30 children and adolescents in the United States today. It's also a significant racial disparities issue. African American children are 9 times more likely to have an incarcerated parent than their white counterparts. Interest in this subject is not new. So how does having a parent who spent time in prison affect children and families? Research has examined these psychosocial outcomes of parental incarceration and found that parental incarceration can affect economic strain, insecure attachment styles, strained caregiving, social stigma, as well as a variety of psychiatric problems. However, this research has some significant limitations. Many of these studies used cross-sectional designs and convenient samples rather than general population samples. And most critically, they failed to control for the confounding effects of factors that are both more prevalent among incarcerated individuals and associated with psychosocial functioning in youth, including parental psychological and substance use difficulties. More recently, however, a methodologically rigorous body of evidence has emerged that uses data from about 5 prospective longitudinal studies that are drawn from general population samples. And these studies have shown that children and families affected by parental incarceration are at increased risk of antisocial and delinquent behavior, internalizing problems like depression and anxiety, economic strain, and residential instability. However, this research also has some important limitations. Only 2 of these previous studies were conducted in the US. This is really important because the criminal justice systems and the social support systems vary substantially across countries. Additionally, one of these studies conducted in the US used an exclusively urban sample, so we don't know much about rural kids. And one of them only assessed maternal incarceration. One of the previous studies, only one has compared to another type of parental loss, in this case, parental death. If we don't compare to other types of parental loss, we kind of don't know how, if parental incarceration is, what are the kind of unique effects on psychosocial outcomes. Also, most research in this area examines the effects of parental incarceration that occurred during the child's lifetime. Even though evidence shows that incarceration can have substantial economic and other psychological effects on individuals throughout the life course, and thus can still affect children even if they're born after the incarceration period has ended. Additionally, these other studies were conducted using an English sample that was majority white and exclusively male. A lot of the research in this area has focused mostly on boys because fathers are much more likely to be incarcerated than mothers. So the aims of the current study were to examine the unique effects of parental incarceration that occurred at any point in a parent's lifetime on youth and young adult psychosocial outcomes. The study uses a longitudinal US cohort drawn from a diverse rural population. Children affected by parental incarceration are compared to those who experienced no parental loss and those who experienced parental death. And most critically, we can control for a variety of factors, both parent, demographic, and child factors. In this study, we also sought to examine potential moderation by gender. So this study uses data from the Great Smoky Mountain Study, which is a prospective longitudinal epidemiological study of youth and young adults living in rural Western North Carolina. Without going into too much detail, the GSMS used an accelerated longitudinal two-stage sampling design, which used both probability sampling and oversampling of both children with a higher probability of psychiatric symptoms and Native American children. As with all data analyses of GSMS data, here we applied sampling weights which enable unbiased population estimates. So our final sample includes 1,420 children who were ages 9, 11, and 13 when the study began. They and their primary caregivers were assessed annually until the age of 16, and then the children were, young adults were assessed alone at the age of 19 and 21. Assessments were completed using structured, highly structured interviews, the child and adolescent psychiatric assessment and its young adult counterpart. These assess psychiatric status, family structure, and a variety of psychosocial variables. So our measures. Parental incarceration was measured via self-report of the child or the caregiver at each assessment point. We also sought to verify parental incarceration histories using the North Carolina Department of Justice offender search tool. Because we had incomplete data on many of our parental figures, we were only able to verify a third of the parental incarceration histories, but when we compared that subsample who were verified to the larger sample of individuals who self-reported parental incarceration, we found no differences on any of the demographic or outcome variables. So the data that I present uses the larger self-report group. Additionally, first incarceration almost always predated the onset of disorder. When we reran our analyses, excluding people whose disorder happened before a parental incarceration, our analyses showed no differences. It was a pretty small group. Parental death was assessed via self-report at each assessment, and so three mutually exclusive groups were created: parental incarceration only, no parental loss, and parental death only. For our outcomes, we looked at three broad categories of mental health outcomes: emotional, that is depression, anxiety, and manic disorders; disruptive behavioral, including conduct and oppositional defiant disorders; and substance use disorders. We were also interested in the criminal history of young adults between the ages of 16 and 21. We used official North Carolina criminal data records database to classify youth according to their most serious charge. That is, they could be classified as having no charge, a minor, that is trespassing or shoplifting, a moderate charge, usually property or drug-related offenses, or a severe or violent charge. The risk factors that we were interested in included low socioeconomic status, parent experience of psychiatric or substance use problems, and child experience of physical or sexual abuse. All of our analyses utilized logistic regression using the generalized estimating equations function in SAS-PROC GenMod, and we used various statistical techniques to account for the study design. Step one was to compare children who experienced parental incarceration to those who experienced no loss. Step two was to adjust for the risk factors to see if those effects were maintained. Then to compare children who experienced parental incarceration to those who experienced a parental death. And then to examine moderation by gender. So here's a look at the demographics and risk factors. In this population, 22% of youth had at least one parental figure who'd ever been incarcerated, and 4.5% had experienced a parental death. Youth affected by parental incarceration were significantly different from youth in the no loss and in the parental death groups on a variety of important demographic and risk factor variables. They were more likely to be non-white, to have a parent who experienced psychiatric or substance use difficulties, to live in a low SES household, and to have experienced abuse. This provides empirical support for our theoretical decision to control for these factors in our analyses. This slide presents the prevalence of the outcomes that we were interested in each of the different loss groups. So when we look at our regression results, we find that youth affected by parental incarceration were twice as likely as those who experienced no loss to experience emotional and disruptive behavioral disorders between the ages of 9 and 16. And these results were robust even after controlling for the demographic and the risk factors variables that I've described. A similar pattern of risk was observed when youth affected by parental incarceration were compared to those who experienced a parental death. In fact, many of those results were amplified. Also, in young adulthood, children affected by parental incarceration were almost three times as likely in adjusted models to be charged with a severe or violent crime in young adulthood. Interestingly, we found no moderation by gender for any outcome at any age. So the main findings. Parental incarceration is a robust predictor of emotional and disruptive behavioral problems in youth and of violent criminal behavior in adulthood. Thus, parental incarceration has both short and long-term effects. Additionally, parental incarceration seems to make children more vulnerable than parental death. And parental incarceration seems to affect girls in similar ways that it affects boys, which contradicts a lot of the previous evidence and argument in both the criminality and the psychological literature. So in addition to the study design strengths that I've already described, the study has some important benefits that I'd like to discuss. The fact that the outcomes were that we looked at were psychiatric disorders rather than symptoms raises the threshold for the detection of effects, and it increases the clinical significance of our findings. Additionally, the fact that we allowed parental incarceration to occur ever in a parent's lifetime lends support for the hypothesis that parental incarceration doesn't have to occur during a child's lifetime in order to be impactful. And in addition to the typical limitations associated with observational data, because not all parental figures were assessed for psychiatric difficulties and substance use difficulties, this risk factor may have been underestimated. Also, there's a significant debate in the literature that suggests that incarceration may be simply a proxy for worst parent criminality, though there's now substantial evidence that to suggest that other factors besides criminal behavior, like race and socioeconomic status, that affect one's chances of becoming incarcerated. However, this study is not really designed to examine and kind of disentangle the effects of parental incarceration versus parent criminality. This study has some important public health implications. If youth affected by parental incarceration were targeted for intervention, we might reduce significant individual morbidity, psychiatric morbidity, and the social cost of future criminality. Such intervention could also indirectly but positively impact a range of problems that are associated with psychiatric difficulties in youth, including things like teen pregnancy, school dropout, and HIV-related risk behavior. So there are a number of future potential research avenues that are suggested by these results. One couple that I want to mention explicitly are examining whether outcomes among youth are different based on the number, the length, and the charge that led to incarceration, as well as the gender of the parent who was incarcerated. And to disentangle the effects of parental incarceration from parent criminality, a kind of gold standard study might be designed to compare outcomes among children whose parents were incarcerated to children whose parents were adjudicated to detention alternatives, perhaps by matching on charge type or controlling for charges. I'd like to thank my mentors at Duke who made this research possible, and I'll leave you with this quote, which comes from some kind of giants in the criminality field. And because, because of the race and class disparities inherent in which youth are affected by parental incarceration, it seems to me that the rigorous study of and the design of interventions for these families represents a true social justice imperative. Thank you.